Welcome to Bloombox Growing Deeper. I'm Sarah.
I'm Hannah, and we're on a mission to help you become the gardener you want to be.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
It's almost May.
Ah!
As in, like, a couple days.
Oh, my gosh.
Which means it's finally, truly gardening season.
That is what it means, and I'm already tired. Sorry, everyone.
We're pretty tired by this point in the year. We've been working pretty hard for a couple months already, and we're looking at the calendar, seeing events stretching into eternity.
But exciting.
So exciting events. What are coming up is our ribbon cutting for the greenhouse.
Ribbon cutting. We've been using the greenhouse, but, you know, nobody wants to do a ribbon cutting in January.
No.
Stand outside. It's not very fun. So we moved it to May, and it's going to be perfect. It's going to be perfect. That's what
it
I
is.
Keep telling myself. And it is going to be leading up to a sale.
Yeah, which is more fun. I mean,
yeah.
We've had volunteers in and out, but we haven't had any customers into the greenhouse. So it is, I think it's an appropriate time for ribbon cutting.
It's so fun.
Yeah.
And the day this comes out, we have the day off.
Thank goodness.
It's our blackout day for Spring Affair.
Post-Spring Affair. I have a massage scheduled.
I love it.
I think I might also be getting my hair cut, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that all sounds awesome.
Yeah.
But today we're here not to talk about Spring Affair.
No.
It is over.
We're going to talk about designing your own bloombox garden.
Woohoo! I've done this.
You have?
Mm-hmm.
And it went pretty well for you.
It did. It went actually better than my first real bloombox.
It did.
But that was due to my own fault because I don't know how to measure.
We did discuss the importance of measuring.
Mm-hmm.
And you also have learned some things.
Yes. It was many years apart, so I've learned many a gardening thing.
But I think this is going to be really fun because it goes along with an online program that we offer,
mm-hmm.
a membership that you can join called Build Your Own Bloombox.
It's a subscription.
It's a subscription. So for a year, you can access all of the tools that I use to design bloombox gardens.
Be your own Sarah.
To design for yourself. Or you can take what we talk about here and design completely on your own. We'll talk about some of the ways that we make choices when we're designing a pollinator garden that you can use without, you know, using our exact system.
Yes. And y'all, if I can pick this up just from being around the office, as a reminder, no plant experience prior to NSA, you can do this.
We worked really, from the beginning, Bloombox's goal has been to make gardening easier.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going to try to make creating the garden in the first place even easier. So I think it's going to be exciting.
It's going to be perfect.
And it gives a little control. The original reason that I started creating this program was because people were, you know, wanting, Bloombox was designed as kind of like a surprise. Fill out the garden quiz. We'll pick plants. If you already know what you want, maybe you don't need Bloombox so much.
Yeah. And little known. In fact, the first year when you opened the box, glitter just flew out of it. That's not true.
That's not true at all. It would have been very cool. I mean, there was shredded paper.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of glitter.
It's like a type of glitter.
It's compostable glitter.
That's right.
But as people got more experience and they were planting their second and third bloombox, they started to learn something and they wanted to have choices about their plants. We said, well, we can't really handle that level of, you know, input
mm-hmm.
from the customer for bloombox and still manage the program, but we can help you.
Yes.
Take what you've learned and design your own.
Yes. Because how many bloomboxes did we do last year? In the spring,
we did 187.
That's so many, y'all.
In 5 weeks.
I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but it really is.
It really, really is. So this year, we're taking a little break from the physical bloom boxes.
Mm-hmm. Mostly because I really wasn't sure if Sarah would make it last spring.
It was a tough spring, guys.
And I was like, we got to do something else. Yeah. We got to figure this out. And we are. We're using this time to figure out the details and make it so that it can come back better than ever.
Better, yes. And I think this is going to be also a timely break because a lot of the people who were still ordering were on their second or third. And this is a good time to say, we did our job right. We've taught you a little something. We still have plants available in the greenhouse, pretty much all the same plants available in the greenhouse. So try build your own bloom box and, you know, apply what we have learned and see how we do.
We've reached bloom box 202 instead of 101.
Yeah, we are in the second class.
That's right. You are sophomores.
And we're still here. I mean, along with this online subscription comes access to us to ask questions.
Right.
I think you guys know that we're always happy to answer questions.
Yeah, we don't leave until you get to the 808.
I haven't planned that far ahead.
That's a master's.
Okay. I never went past 400s in college.
Yeah.
I did not go into the master's.
That's if you go and get your master gardener.
Okay.
There you go. Then we're out.
No, we've worked with a lot of master gardeners.
We have, yes.
Okay, so we're just going to walk through what it looks like if you join the subscription, what you get, and kind of the steps you take. And in between here, we'll say, if you're not using the Bloombox program, here's also how you can make these choices.
Yes. Yes. And like I said, I did this. I tested this out at a very early version when I did really just was like, Sarah, I want a Bloombox, but I don't want to add to your work. So show me what you do.
Yeah, you didn't get any of this nice layout or instructions. No. I handed you a blank design and told you where to find my plant list file. Mm-hmm. And you did pretty good.
Yeah, I did.
So when you go to plantnebraska.org and you find navigate to Bloombox, on our website, you find the option to buy a subscription to build your own Bloombox. Mm-hmm. And once you're in, the first page you see is start here and learn
and that,
the steps.
And that is the start.
And learn the steps. And that button takes you to kind of a walkthrough of the program. Or if you're coming in for the fifth, sixth time, you can skip right to the resources. Mm-hmm. But that start here button is going to start and tell you that the first thing you need to do is look at your yard.
Yay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We got to look at things before we start.
Real quick, before we get into the steps, key detail is that you can do this any time. You can start this process anytime. Unlike the regular Bloombox where we have like a window of time when you can sign up and do it. This, if you are in mid-May thinking, I think I do want to do that maybe in the fall or get it in before July, you can still do this.
Yes.
So anytime. Or
if it's the middle of the winter and you need to like scratch the gardening itch, do some designing and then be ready in May. Or better yet, plan ahead. Spring Affair has passed this year. We just finished. But if you are looking at next year, you could spend the winter planning and show up to Spring Affair with your design ready to go.
Absolutely.
And the other nice thing is that for the same $60 membership, you could design as many gardens as you wanted.
Yeah.
So where you are paying every single time with Bloombox for the design fee. Now you're paying the design fee one time because you're really kind of doing the work. And then you can come to the greenhouse over and over and over again and
you
add new gardens.
Be like Oprah, like to your mom, you get a Bloombox. To your sister, you get a Bloombox. Everyone gets Bloomboxes for their holidays this year.
You could design Bloomboxes for Christmas.
You could.
Oh, that'd be so fun.
Uh-oh. We just got ideas.
We did. I think that would be very fun. So what do you get in the membership?
What do you get?
You get layout plans. That's the first thing we're going to talk about is how to choose those. You get our plant database, which is a very cleaned up version of the exact same one I use to design Bloomboxes. And you get plant cards, the same ones that we provide in Bloombox. I think we might have made a couple more for some maybe harder, easier to find plants that we're less likely to carry in our greenhouse. But if you're not in Lincoln,
right,
you're maybe more likely to find locally. And then you get a copy of our guidebook, which goes through preparing the garden, planting the garden, caring for the garden, and then some stuff on pollinator habitat, some things on insect ID. That book alone is quite the resource. So
yeah, it really is.
Yeah. Honestly, the book and the database kind of make this. The layouts, personally, I find extra, you know, they're helpful.
Yeah.
But if you had the database and the guidebook, you'd be pretty set.
Yeah, especially if you're not, like, if this isn't the first gardening thing you've ever done, you probably already have an idea garden layout.
I agree, and I think you might even have more idea than you think. But if it's the first time you've seen plants placed in a space, the layouts are really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And then everyone loves the plant cards just because
they're
such a nice picture of the plant, and then they're on the back, we put all of the plant information in a visual form. So everything's on like sliding scales of how much water and how tall, which I think is more helpful to beginning gardeners than saying moist, dry,
right,
average. Those words don't mean a whole lot until you've been in the garden for a while.
Yes.
But that sliding scale can kind of help you visualize if we know what the wettest is and we know what the driest is. Here's where we fall.
Yeah. I like it.
So, step one, look at your yard.
That's right.
Look first. Measure first.
Now, the spot where you're going to put the garden.
Yeah.
Look, measure, observe over time.
If you've never seen, all of our gardens start at 100 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
We have the mini that fills about 60, but we kind of take a standard approach of a garden bed being 100 square feet. So some people are going to be a little bigger than that. Some people are going to be a little smaller than that. But if you've never seen 100 square feet, get a piece of rope or a hose and mark out a 10 by 10 square. Or I think the design actually comes 15 by 7 to make it a rectangle.
Yeah.
But mark that out and just look at it so that you know what that space looks like. Because it's kind of hard. You know, I'm now 7 years in, extremely familiar with what 100 square feet looks like.
Mm-hmm.
But at the beginning, I didn't know.
I'm pretty sure I did mine in half the space the first time.
I think you did. I think you squished some things together.
Yeah. But then the second, when I designed my own, what I actually did was I knew where I wanted it. So I used the hose because I was doing a corner, not a rectangle. So I used a hose to lay it out how I wanted it. And then I measured it so that I could say, I think it was slightly over 100 square feet. Yeah. So then I just knew I needed a couple extra plants.
Which is a great way to do it, because if you know that a bloom box is designed to have 24 plants in 100 square feet and you added, you know, 25 feet to that, add a quarter of the plants.
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't have to be as precisely following the design.
Yeah, just learn from my mistakes and don't add all purple poppy mallow so that it doesn't take over your whole situation.
Yeah.
I learned. And actually, you know, it was manageable.
It was manageable. It is a manageable plant. If you're in the western part of the state, you love poppy mallow. Yeah. It doesn't behave that way. But around here in the eastern half of the state, poppy mallow is a beast.
Mm-hmm. And my other tip for people is that if you forgot your middle school geometry, computers do it now.
They do. Yeah.
I just Googled how to find the area of a triangle and I just put the numbers in and it did it. And circles, ovals. I mean, rectangles are easier, but all those other weird shapes. Google does it.
If you know where you want plants in your yard and it's a really irregular shape, I also go on Google Maps.
Yeah.
And mark out a shape. And it tells you when you finish that shape, the interior square footage, which is really, really helpful.
Perfect.
Especially when I'm doing designs for like, you know, projects that didn't give me as much detail as I would like. It's incredibly helpful to have, you know, just that measurement of a really odd shaped space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So we've looked at our yard. We understand where 100 square feet is going to fit, or we understand that we have a little bit more or less of that. And then before we leave, we're going to just like take a look at how much sun the space gets. Take a look at how much moisture it gets. And that includes both rain and anything you put down.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got lawn sprinklers that run, that's moisture. It's important. It's not how we...
that was different water.
It's not how we want you to water your garden all the time, but we have to take it into account. Mm-hmm. And then, get a shovel and see what the soil's like there. You don't need a comprehensive soil test, but squish it in a ball, and if it sticks together, like Play-Doh, it's clay. If it sticks together but it crumbles, it's somewhere in between. And if it just falls apart, it's sandy.
Mm-hmm.
Just know that. That's really the only
detail
you need to know about that.
Yeah. If you are doing a particularly large garden, dig a couple holes in different spots.
Yes.
Because I did one, and I swear to you, halfway through, it was clay and the other half not.
Even for,
what's happening?
If you did a 100-square-foot triangle, I'd be tempted to check all four corners.
Yeah. Triangle, all three corners.
Yep. All three.
Friday afternoon, y'all. This is rough.
Once we know our placement and we know the area we have, our designs or our layout plans come in four standard shapes.
Mm-hmm.
They come in a rectangle, 7x15. They come in a triangle, which we call corner because it could fit in the corner of the sidewalk and the driveway.
Right. It's like a right angle triangle.
It's a right angle triangle. Yeah. It comes in a wrap. So that's like if you're going around the front to the side of your house. So it's like two rectangles stuck together in an L shape.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have an island or a circle that you could place in the middle of wherever. And then the minis, the half-size ones, they only come in a rectangle.
Yeah.
Because it's 12 plants. If you need to place them different, you can you can figure that out. So choose your shape. And then we need to choose our style, because within those shapes, we offer you a formal design, an informal design, and a natural design.
What are the differences, Sarah?
Pretty much what it sounds like. It takes the same 24 plants and lays them out formally in a symmetrical pattern.
Yes.
So you have a middle and you have sides and they look the same.
Yeah.
The informal moves stuff around a little bit, but they keep the plants in groups. And then
for the natural, I just took all the plants, I threw them up in the air, and wherever they landed, that's where we planted them.
I'm not sure I recommend that.
No, but it's a bit more just kind of random placement.
I've always felt like we could probably not need the natural one. If you want it that informal, you can probably just place things as you want. The important thing to learn from that layout is kind of how close stuff can get to each other. But there is no pattern to that. Plants aren't in groups. They're singly or maybe in twos, whereas the informal isn't symmetrical, but plants are still in threes and fives.
Yep.
And that is, there is no good or bad to any of those. It depends completely on what you like.
Yep. And now that I think about it, I've actually done this twice. I designed my own. And the first one, since it was in the front yard, I went formal. And the other one, since it's just a random empty spot in my backyard, I pretty much did just like, oh, that's where that one landed.
Yeah.
Throw it in there.
If you ever watch us lay plants out in a project, that's what it looks like we're doing. We're not, but that's what it looks like. We're just like, oh, throw a plant there, throw a plant here.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're not, it's actually really hard to purposefully randomize things.
Yeah, it is. Our brains want to organize.
We, as people, want things in a pattern. Mm-hmm. And so everyone who says, I really, really want a natural layout, take a look at that informal. You might like it more than you think, or you may really want something pretty randomized. In that case, go for it. Put them where you want them. They'll be
happy. Let the kids plant them. Then it'll be random.
That is probably the best way to get a truly randomized garden.
Yes.
Okay, so we have checked our size of our area. We've looked at our sunshade, etc. We've picked a shape and we've picked a style. So now we can take that information to the plant database.
It's the fun part.
It is the fun. This is
choose
the fun
your
part.
Plants.
So as you look at your bloom box layouts, you'll see that we assigned plants jobs or categories. Or I think of them as layers, but that's harder to explain if you're not thinking from a landscape design perspective. So we gave our plants jobs. And the first job that we look at is the anchor. So these are our plants that are always visible and generally always look good from spring to fall. They might not bloom spring to fall, but they're always there. So think about Baptisia. It blooms very early in the spring, but the leaves are structural and the plant stays in its shape versus, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and I chose to use goldenrod for mine. That's, and you know, another good one.
I like goldenrod too. You think, oh, it's fall, but it's actually there present in the garden all year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially the Wichita Mountains. Oh my gosh, yeah. The foliage on that is so pretty.
It is. It's pretty even when it's not blooming. Mm-hmm. Whereas I would not choose to use bee balm as an anchor, because when it's not in bloom, it gets kind of mildewy and it fades, and you kind of mm-hmm. want something else to take its place. We call it the anchor because it's the thing that first draws your eye and places you in the garden. It anchors you in the garden.
Look at you guys. We're so just really thinking this through.
Yeah. I can't take full credit for this. It was a team effort. Yeah. And then the next thing I like to look at is what we call our clean edge plants. And this includes a grass. We always include one grass species in every bloom box. Even if you all think that grasses don't do any good for pollinators, I hope by now we've talked that through and we understand grasses are essential to pollinators. So our clean edge plants are plants that can be trusted to hold their shape along an edge. They don't flop into sidewalks. Not your aster disaster. That's the opposite of a clean edge.
No, I actually did this right the first time. Blue grama.
Yes, blue grama makes a great one. Sedges make a great one. And then we have plants that make really good clean edges. Yarrow's one we can look at because it doesn't really do anything except what it says it will do. Whereas there are some asters that are good clean edges, and there's some that flop their way around.
From experience.
Yeah. So into that category, we call those the seasonal stars.
Yeah.
So these are things that when they're in their season, they are amazing. But when they're not, they're either not very noticeable or there's something you want to draw the eye away from.
Mm-hmm. I went with liatris.
Yeah, that's a good one. Because when it's done, it's kind of just done.
Yeah, it's just a plant.
Yeah. It's not super interesting.
No, and it's pretty low to the ground otherwise. So
depends on. It does depend on which one.
But yeah.
And then the last category you'll see, which is you'll find in the layout plants, is optional. You can look at a layout that has ground huggers or one that does not. And our ground huggers are things that go underneath the main plants. They grow shorter. They tolerate some shade. They might spread out a little bit more. And they keep the ground covered. It's kind of what they say they do. They're not ground cut. We worked very hard to not call them ground covers, because the traditional use of that word is for things like vinca.
Right, to fill in and spread.
Yeah, and it comes with a really aggressive connotation. Our ground huggers tend to be more clumpy things. We use a lot of small sedges. We use geraniums. Mm-hmm. I like to use heuchera in that place. Anything that can grow a little shorter and form a clump and cover the ground.
I get more compliments about my snow flurry aster than almost any other plant.
Yeah, snow flurry aster is one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because it just, the goal is that in the next year or two, that plant replaces mulch.
Yes, it does.
It does, very
well. It has, pretty much, for me now.
There's no way I'm mulching under my snow flurry aster.
No, that stuff is solid.
But then we have basically a green mulch, a living mulch underneath those plants. Something that I didn't realize how important it was to explain. These jobs are completely assigned by us, not completely arbitrarily. We knew what we were doing when we picked them, but they're up for debate. You'll find the same plant in multiple places. There are some liatris in our anchors. There are some different liatris in our seasonal stars, but there are echinaceas as anchors, clean edge, and seasonal stars.
That's right.
Because depending on whether you're a very formal designer or a very natural designer, you might have a different standard for filling those jobs.
And I feel like some of it also depends on how tall your garden is.
Yeah.
Because something can be a clean edge if your biggest plant is Joe Pye.
Yeah.
That is still 3 feet tall on a clean edge.
Exactly. If you're if your max height is 8 feet, then your clean edges could be 4 feet tall. But if you are needing a shorter garden and 4 feet's your max height, then your clean edges need to be closer to 2. So these aren't hard and fast rules. There's no book defining these. It's just to help you picture what could go in that place. And then to balance the size a little bit. If you choose an anchor that's really big, we have more freedom in our clean edge, but we shouldn't have, you know, the whole garden being taller than our anchors.
Yeah.
Makes it hard for them to do their job.
It does.
The fun thing about this database, though, is you can sort by anything. So I always sort first by layer, which is those jobs. And I say, or let's pick out an anchor. And then we've got to think back to what we learned about our space, how much sun it got. So just tell me about a spot in your yard, Hannah.
Okay, so do you want to do my other side of my hell strip?
Sure.
Okay. So I have a hell strip that needs done. It's in full sun with very little shade, and there is a manhole in the middle of it.
Okay, I'm going to ignore the manhole for now. But what I did was I took what you said. You said mm-hmm. full sun, mm-hmm. and that to me says at least 6 hours.
Yes.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. we didn't define it by full part, you know, full shade, because that could be up for discussion. So if I want you to look at that space and tell me it starts, the least sun it gets all summer is 6 hours. We're going to say that's what you said.
Okay.
And so I sorted that down. So our list got shorter. So now we're limited to only anchor plants that will only live in full sun.
Yep.
Now, how wet do you think that spot gets?
It is very dry.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you don't water it, it waits for rain.
Correct.
Okay. I'm going to say, we're down to dry. Mm-hmm. So our list has shrunk even more. Now, if it's in your hell strip, do we need it to stay under 3 feet?
Yes, I need it to be shorter. Yeah.
And we know that because really most, I don't know any cities where they allow more than 3 feet up next to the road. Mm-hmm. So we're down to 3 plants.
And I could still have goldenrod.
And you could still have goldenrod. So our choices that the database gave us are salvia, rose, marvel, which sounds beautiful.
I don't know that one.
I don't either. It says it's attractive to hummingbirds. Oh, I see. This one was added. I had our intern go through. And since most of our bloom box plants are really specific to NSA's inventory of native perennials, I had her go and add 5 to every category that we could call easily available.
Nice.
That you could find at garden centers in almost any town big enough to have at least a hardware store.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So that's one of those. So that explains why you and I aren't as familiar with it. But I bet you know May Night Salvia.
Yes.
That's on the list too.
And you guys, hummingbirds.
Yes.
I don't know how much we want them next to the street, but fun.
I think they're pretty speedy little things.
Yeah, they are.
They're pretty shy. So I think they would disappear.
That is true.
And then you've got a golden fleece goldenrod.
Which is another one of my favorite goldenrods.
It is one of my favorites, too.
So fluffy.
You would have got a few different options depending on if your sun needs had changed or your moisture availability changed or if you could go up in height. Say we weren't next to the road. Yeah. Then we could add back in a couple plants. Oh, we could add back in a lot of plants.
A lot of plants. Rattlesnake Master.
Rattlesnake Master. A couple liatris. Iron butterfly ironweed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really hard to explain to you without a visual, but there is a video in the website showing how I filtered these if you're not familiar with filtering a spreadsheet.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to go through each category or each job or layer in our landscape. We're going to assign our anchors. We're going to assign our clean edge. We're going to assign our seasonal stars. And if you chose to have ground huggers, we'll assign those too. And then I put at the end of this list, always have a couple substitutes in mind.
Yeah.
Because this database is a list of plants that I know do well in this.
It's so many plants.
It's a lot of plants. But every garden center is going to have something different.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you come to NSA, our availability is different at the beginning of May than at the end, or depending on the seed we got this year.
Mm-hmm.
So always have a couple substitutes in mind. And if you're outside of the Midwest.
Yeah, this is a hard one.
Everything here is still useful to you except really the plant database. The layouts stay the same. The guidebook, pretty much the same. But what you can do is you can take everything you learned about your yard doing that evaluation to your garden center. And you can say, I'm looking for a plant that is present in the garden all year. And here's the state, here's the sun and moisture I have. And then you can say, and I also need a couple things that stay really predictably shaped. Mm-hmm. And you can say, and I have room for a few things that are maybe more seasonally cool, but might fade.
Yeah.
And you can shop any garden center knowing that information.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. I love it.
Yeah.
You guys, we just designed a bloom box.
We haven't really. Should we pick some plants? Should we look at what it would look like if we had a plant in each category?
Yeah, let's do it. And let's not do it in my health strip.
Okay.
Because that just is too limiting.
Let's do it in a garden I'm not designing yet in my yard. Okay. Which is, it's the front. It's the southwest corner of my yard.
All right.
So, but luckily there's a little tree. So it's only part sun.
All right.
And I like that because people do tend to struggle in part sun.
Yeah, so part sun would be 4 to 6 hours?
So I click the box for 4 to 6 and 4 to 8 because mm-hmm. 4 is the minimizing, like, that's the number that limits us.
Yeah.
I start considering things part shade at 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we've got part shade. I don't care about the size because this is next to my house. It's not next to the street.
Oh, so you can do whatever you want. There's no windows to block? No.
I mean, there's a window, but I'm perfectly happy to have plants in front of my windows.
Right? Yeah.
And then I'm going to say, I need to fix that. I'm going to say this is a dry to medium site. I would never call it like wet, mm-hmm. but I have not seen anything in this space struggle for lack of water, and I don't water. So we have a good list here. So let's see what's in our anchors.
Pick an anchor.
Ooh, we've got a lot of fun choices.
Oh my gosh. Okay. First, coneflower. Because I think every garden should have a coneflower.
I do too.
And they're easy to find.
They are very easy to find. So I like that. We'll say coneflower is going to be our anchor.
Yeah.
Now, the thing I did not talk about a few minutes ago that I should have is bloom time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When we design, since we're trying to design for pollinators, and really, even if you're designing for people, we want blooms all summer long.
Mm-hmm.
So we do need to pay attention to making sure we get at least one thing in each seasonal category. And coneflowers are a pretty solid summer.
Yep.
Okay.
The other thing you could do that I just noticed is you could just filter by the insect and you could do a butterfly garden.
That's true.
I mean, they attract everything. We don't really recommend doing just like butterfly, but if you wanted to, you could.
Yeah. We have kind of a highlighted insect for mm-hmm. every plant, just to show you it's one example of an insect that likes that plant.
That's right.
But it's fun to know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Our clean edge.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to choose 2 of these. And
okay. You pick and then I'll pick one.
Okay. So I am going to pick the grass because I have opinions about grass.
Okay.
And in this space, I really want a little blue stem.
Okay.
Because I don't actually have any in my yard yet. Is that not the most horrifying thing you've ever heard of?
You don't have any little blue stem.
I have big blue stem, but I don't have any little blue stem. I got to fix that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have 2 flowers.
Okay, so now it's my turn to pick?
It's your turn to pick. We get 2 flowers now.
Okay.
So our clean edge gets 3 plants, but mm-hmm. one's a grass.
Okay, I'm going to pick Walker's Low Catmint.
Ugh, I love it.
Right? Because it's so easy to find in a lot of places, and it's just like a wonderful plant.
Yes, it is. And it blooms like all the time,
yeah.
Spring to fall.
Mm-hmm. And that thing is one hardy plant.
It is. It is. It does. Some people will say, well, catmint's everywhere. And so if you already have catmint,
yeah.
then you're done.
It is a popular plant.
If you don't have it, then it's a great addition to, mm-hmm. I think, almost any garden.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pick a Heliopsis.
Ooh.
Because I love them.
You know I like it.
And yeah, that too.
I made it about me.
It's also, it's one of like the debatable ones. It's not a flopper. No. And so that's why it was allowed into the clean edge category. But it
just made the cut.
It just made the cut because it's a little leggy, we'll say. It's,
yeah.
It doesn't have like a lot of leaves on its stems right. until the flower.
Remember, we talked about it in the Spring Affair episode if you listened to that yep. one.
So it's one that because I like a more natural or informal design, it's going to fit really well. But if you're somebody who really wants a formal layout, this is a seasonal star for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, the seasonal stars, which is kind of a fun category because we can be a little free here.
Yeah.
Looking at our blooming time, it would be good for us to get a spring and a fall.
Yeah.
Because we've got a lot to, like, run through the summer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so for the spring one, I want to pick Bee Balm.
Ooh, yes.
Because it's a good one. And like you said it, earlier, it's going to kind of fall off later, but it's going to give you some nice, good color early on.
It is. I like that one. And then I'm going to go for a goldenrod for the fall. Because
oh, yeah.
I just don't know if I can complete a pollinator garden without no. goldenrod.
How would you do that?
One of my favorites is sweet goldenrod.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I just really like that one. It's a little, its foliage stays really nice. Not mm-hmm. all the goldenrods do. And it's got these really fluffy seed heads.
Yeah.
And once it frosts on them.
Oh, it's so pretty.
So pretty. So I'm going to do sweet goldenrod. Mm-hmm. It is sweet. If you smell it, it smells yeah. like licorice.
Mm-hmm. Not the gross licorice.
What is the gross licorice?
Black licorice? Does it smell like black licorice?
Well, that's licorice.
No.
The red licorice is raspberry or strawberry.
Strawberry,
or
and it's delicious.
Okay. Yes.
I don't think licorice smells sweet at all.
You don't?
No.
Okay. So it's
smells
like
spicy.
If you take licorice and you made
it's like
it
tarragon.
Sweet. We've been over your dislike of tarragon.
Yeah. Okay. So if you made nasty black licorice sweet. Then it smells like goldenrod.
Yes, except it smells good.
Okay.
I haven't I did taste it. It doesn't taste like licorice.
Okay, good.
Yeah, and
it's too many.
I got the side eye for breaking off a leaf and tasting it. So I was like, oh, it smells like licorice. I wonder if it tastes like that.
Who gave you side eye?
Nick.
Oh, okay.
Mostly because I didn't warn him what I was doing. I was just wandering through the garden and was like, oh, no, it doesn't taste good. Okay, we have coneflower as our anchor. We have little blue stem for our grass.
Mm-hmm.
Then our clean edge is created with Walker's Low, Catmint, and Oxeye. I think that's a yellow and purple.
Yeah.
Great combination. And then Bee Balm and Goldenrod for our wilder plants.
Yes. Should and we do a groundhugger?
Let's do a groundhugger.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
I already picked one.
Okay.
Geranium.
I like geranium.
Oh, I love geranium.
Since there's 30 groundhuggers in a
yeah,
bloom
we should
month,
pick a
I
few.
Always do two because yeah. 30 of any one plant is hard. So mm-hmm. I like geranium. And then I think in this particular space, Texas sedge would do well.
Mm-hmm.
I like Pennsylvania, but I think this could end up a little dry for it.
Oh, sure. Yep.
So, and I think Texas is a nice little puff.
It's a poof.
Yep. So I think that's a very fun garden.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Okay.
Ooh, we did it. See, it wasn't that hard, y'all.
No. And then as you fill out this layout, you're just writing plants into their jobs. You do have a choice for the clean edge and the seasonal stars. There's going to be 3 of one species and 6 of the other.
Mm-hmm.
And I tend to always choose by size. Whichever one's bigger, we do 3 of. Whichever yeah. one's smaller, we do 6 of.
That makes sense.
You don't have to do it that way. If you're trying to stretch, say you have 150 square feet, you might do your big plants as the 6s, and that's mm-hmm. just going to stretch you out a little bit
mm-hmm.
in the garden.
Definitely.
Okay.
All right. So up next, plant it.
Let's plant
it. Water it.
Yeah.
Mulch
it. Let's prepare our site first.
Oh, all right. This is always the part that gets missed by everyone because it's not as fun.
It's really not that fun. But take a look at the guidebook. We walk you through it. Either how to get rid of turf or if we're taking a bed that did exist and we need to clean it up. In some ways, grass is easier because it's pretty straightforward. kill it and get it out. But that's a very physical job.
It's so physical. It's best to do when you're angry.
It is best to do when you're angry. But so on the other hand, like reclaiming an old bed is easier, but instead your work is in dealing with the seed bank that's in there. And so when you're dealing with and like reclaiming a spot that hasn't been planted in a while, my recommendation is just to turn it over as little as possible. The more you stir it up, the more seed you bring to the surface. But really, read the book. It goes through it pretty quickly.
Yeah, it's a good guidebook.
Measure. That's the main thing I wanted to say was measure.
Yeah.
I wrote this outline. I put, prepare your site before you go shopping. And the reason I put that is just to remind people again that you can't get away with not preparing your site.
Yeah, it is nice to have it prepared so that when you buy your plants, they're ready to go into the ground. Yeah. Just because I don't know about other people, but I don't always do the best job of keeping them healthy in those pots.
It's hard. I don't either. It's really hard when you come home from shopping. You still have a bed to prepare. That's not a job you want to do, so you put it off. And those plants sitting there in their little pots get harder and harder to take care of. You don't have to do it in this order. I just always list the jobs in this order as just kind of a reminder to people that you have, once you buy your plants, you have kind of a limited time to prepare your site and get them in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
And then we plant.
Plant.
Yay. The layouts are on a grid. So, you know, after your first one, you kind of start to eyeball it. But if you're really struggling to place yourself physically in the garden and see how the space from the design translates out, there is a grid, a 1-foot grid on the design. And you could measure out. There's nothing wrong with measuring the placement of every single plant.
It's going to add time, but you can do
it. It's going to add time. You will, I think you'll measure out the first 2 or 3 and you'll catch on really fast and mm-hmm. and be able to kind of see the space.
Yeah.
On the picture.
You know, I bet your garden trowel is about 1 foot.
Could be.
Measure that. And if that is about 1 foot, then you have a better visualization.
It helps.
Mm-hmm.
You could also go through and just spray paint dots.
Yeah.
If you think you need to move stuff around. Or I like to throw all the plants on the ground in their places. Not mm-hmm. just randomly, like you suggested earlier. But I usually take the design and I place the 3 anchor plants.
Yep.
And I just lay the plants on the ground. And I get it all laid out. Because very rarely is your real garden in real life going to exactly fit the piece of paper. You might have to tweak something. You might dig one hole and find out there's a rock there and move the plant over.
That's how I did it. I followed your advice and I took all my plants and I put them still in the pots, just where I might want them. And then that makes it easier to plant too, because then I just started on one side and dug a hole, put it in.
Chuck the pots out and stack them up at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then that's it. Water it. Watch it grow.
Mulch it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Such
is gardening, y'all. Okay.
Think back to the first couple you did. Did we miss any questions that tripped you up?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
That's
One of the things I hear a lot is people who aren't used to looking at a plan on a paper, looking at real life and going from scale to scale.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a minute to understand what 1 foot on a paper looks like on the ground.
1 square inch on a paper and 1 square foot on the ground is different sizes.
It's different. But if you just measure once or twice, it will click.
Yes. And you know what, everyone? It will look scraggly.
Yeah.
For the first while.
Yeah.
Don't be alarmed. We don't plant gardens as they end up. We plant them early on. So... yeah, it's going to look a little... I just always tell people, bear with it. It'll be fine. They're growing.
The first 2 months, you will swear up and down that we did not put enough plants mm-hmm. in that garden because it looks really empty.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they don't come the size they're going to be.
Yes. And think about that too with the plant. Because I did put a few Baptisia in my... that I designed. Yeah. But I know that Baptisia takes a while to get... established.
Yeah.
So while everything else was like all of a sudden looking great, the Baptisia was still a little scraggly sticking out, and I kept having to clear stuff away from it so it had its own space. Just know that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to put some bulbs or some annuals around. Mm-hmm. I put some annual grass around my Baptisia,
mm-hmm.
just to remind myself this place is already taken.
Yes.
We got to be patient, but the space is taken.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise I will bring things home from the greenhouse and try to cram them into my garden.
Right. And then you're like, oh no, that's Baptisia. Yeah, done that. All right. We did it. Yay. We designed our own bloom box.
And you can too.
You can too.
It really is. It's fun. I take the time to do it. Don't, if you're trying to do it, you know, in an hour the morning before you're going plant shopping, it might not be that fun.
Yeah.
But if you take your time, there's a lot of fun things to learn in this program.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay.
Did you have a plant of the week ready?
I do have a plant of the week. Okay. All right. So one thing that did survive the aster disaster was the poppies that I bought at Spring Affair last year and planted along. And I pretty much forgot I did it until I was moving the asters and I went, what's that? Oh, yeah.
There's the poppies. I vaguely remember uh-huh. that because you wanted to have something that bloomed earlier.
Yep. And so poppies it is. I've always wanted poppies. I haven't had a good spot for them. And this is going to be a really good spot. So I'm excited. They're greening up. They're getting ready. So yay, poppies.
That is exciting. Poppies are a neat plant.
Mm-hmm.
Mine is this clematis that I planted last year. It's part of our all-white garden.
Yes.
And so I think it's Mongolian snow or something.
Yeah. Well, there's a few that are like Mongolian this and snow that. So yeah. There's so many different types.
Mongolian snowflakes is what it was called. So we have like regular purple clematis. I don't mm-hmm. know what it is. It's just purple clematis that came to our house.
Sure.
And it's slower. It starts to green up. But it takes its time. And it's also the kind that greens back up on old stems.
Okay, yep.
So it's the kind you only cut back every so often. This is an up from the base plant. And that stuff's been going since March. And it's got buds. So
does it go every March or just this March was warmer?
I planted it last spring, oh, so okay. I don't know.
So you don't, yeah.
I do think that it could be a fast one every year because of where it is.
Yeah.
It's up against the south side of our house in full sun.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just a really warm spot.
Yes.
It's kind of sheltered by our porch on the west. And it's just, I think the yarrow there is also greened up in March.
Mm-hmm.
And I had chamomile seedlings coming up. So
ooh.
I think that this spot is just warm and it's always a little protected.
Good sheltered spot.
Snow doesn't really last there. So I think it might happen a lot of times, but it's fun to see. I've always had clematis. There's two kinds of clematis. It either comes up fresh every year or it comes up, the old wood will green up.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have that kind, and now we have the kind that starts fresh every year, which is nice to know because now I know I can clean off those old vines.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Because I have to always leave the old dead vines on our mailbox, and I wonder what people think of that until it greens up and it looks beautiful again.
Yeah, yeah. I love it. Awesome. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. We hope you have enjoyed. If you choose to get a subscription to Build Your Own Bloom Box and you plant it and everything, send us your pictures. Send us your questions. Send us all of that because we want to see how it goes.
Yes. And if you have questions or there's things that weren't addressed that you need to know, please tell us because this is the second year this program's existed. And we may very well have edits to make.
Yes, we are always trying to update things for improvements. So if you have a suggestion for an improvement, we would love to hear it. So don't forget to send us your questions, rate and review us, tell people about us. It's full on into gardening season, so people might be looking for a resource. We're a good one, if I do say so myself. So thank you for listening. Bloombox and Bloombox Growing Deeper are both programs of the Nebraska Statewide Arboretum. Thank you.